Blog Talk Radio.
Legendary status, Big XL, Sam Caesar, aka TF. Where y'all gonna learn, man? You can't stop what's inevitable. It's the incredible. PZ, AKTF, dropping jewels, but they edible. I ate my vegetables, but he ate my spinach. Riding with Vic again, so no, we ain't finished. Legendary status, so no, you cannot copy. Riding dirty radio, so crispy, y'all so sloppy. Answer to the street, so we know just what is needed. But keep it underground, staying down, cause we ain't greedy. This is where you find what is popping for the culture. Where we keeping it all precious, stay away from all the vultures. No, scavengers here, just keeping it real. Big got it out the mud, but it's still so clear. So sit back, relax, and just let us lead you. If you're trolling for no reason, then we don't need you. It's Big XL, he can't be stopped. Riding dirty forever, the home of real hip hop.
Yes, sir. What up, world? It's your boy, Big XL, and this is the Riding Dirty Show, where we bridge the gap between hip-hop and everyday life, man. Let's get into it. One time for the good people over at WRFG, 89.3 FM Atlanta, our FM radio home for the past 15 years. Definitely holding it down Thursday night, Friday morning from 6 a.m., from 3 p.m., from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's right. Thursday night, Friday morning, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta. Also, got to say, one time for the good people over at Live365.com. All right, for those who don't know, Live365.com is the internet's longest running streaming site. Now, they're not your traditional streaming site. They're not like iTunes. They're not like Tidal. They're not like Apple. They're not like Spotify. No, what they are a streaming site for radio stations. All right, they are a hub for radio stations to be able to broadcast through the World Wide Web. Now, let me explain to you how it works. Whether you're a community radio station, AM radio station, a small, wideish radio station, if you are having issues when it comes to obtaining a server or broadcasting through the internet, then you should join up and partner up like we did with Live365, live365.com. All right, they will allow you. They will allow you the opportunity to use their server to transmit over the internet airways. Also, for a monthly fee, they will handle the royalty fees that have been legislated by our government. That way, artists will be paid for their music. Okay? All right. What up, Quan? All right. We launched the station, Ride 95, a year ago. We partnered up with Live365. The way to access our station is simple. Go to live365.com in the search engine. Type in Ride95, that's RIDE, the number 9, the number 5. Click on our station logo and you'll have music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. All right? Now, if you want to check us out via your mobile device, also just as easy. Download the Live365 app, go into the search engine, type in Ride95, click on the station logo, music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Please lock us in with the best and what's next in hip-hop, R&B, and country rap tunes, okay? Also, got to say one time for our sponsor, the good people over at Liquor Lollipops. Liquor Lollipops is a premium hard candy designed to taste like your favorite alcoholic beverage. Now, what Liquor Lollipops do or what they does or what they provide is that smooth, smooth taste of your favorite alcoholic beverage, whether it's Sex on the Beach, gin and juice, Tennessee whiskey. Be sure to visit them at LiquorLollipops.com. Find out about the amazing flavors. Find out how you can become a brand ambassador. Find out how you can have Liquor Lollipops at your next event. Find out if you are a brick-and-mortar business, how you can have Liquor Lollipops in your business for sale. All right? Start earning also. All right. Visit them at LiquorLollipops.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'll let you know about our sponsor, the good people over at Liquor Lollipops. I also let you know about the good people over at WRFG 89.3 FM Atlanta, our FM radio home for over 15 years, and I let you know about our brand new radio station, Ride 95. Now it's time for me to do what I like doing most, and that's running my mouth, talking, chopping it up with the people that are changing our culture, the people that are doing good in the hood, the people that are pushing the culture forward, whether it's through arts, entertainment, entrepreneurship, philanthropism, religion, however you're changing the world, this is the platform for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Riding Dirty platform, Mad Boy CJ. What's going on, my guy?
Hey, man, how's it going? It's going good over here over in London, I'm cooling in from.
Over in London, London. All right, the first thing I want to say is, CJ, welcome to the show, and I'm glad you're taking the opportunity to speak with us.
No, it's very good to be on. Thank you for having me.
All right, the first thing I want to ask, let's talk about Mad Boy CJ and your journey into the music business, and when did you realize that you had the talent it takes to be successful?
My family's been involved in the music industry. My cousins, from when I was a little kid, they were being roadies and tour managers for other artists, and I always kind of took a natural liking to music. It was difficult coming away from deciding whether I wanted to be doing studying on things, you know, which are more academic, that kind of stuff. I kind of took a leap of faith more into the creative. I have and surrounded myself with very creative people, and that kind of helped me envision maybe a successful future in it. And it's only now I've really gotten a big kind of engagement off my last release, which has just hit 100K. So that's got me happy, and there's just a journey forward ahead, and it's new and exciting. And you know, I would like obviously it to be more successful as well in the future.
All right. Do you feel like there are a lot of opportunities for artists to pursue music in London?
In London, it's very difficult to break into the industry. There's a lot of ways you can go out and perform, and there's definitely no shortage of creative people. You can always find people who are wanting to work in the industry who are already in there. Nearly all my friends are somewhat involved or connected to some kind of entertainment industry, and it's quite a high competition, but otherwise London can be quite difficult, but there's no shortage of creative people.
Okay. All right. You mentioned your family having, you know, background in the industry. How did your family feel when they found out you wanted to pursue music?
Well, initially for my parents, it wasn't, you know, that I was just wanting to go and do something. Like, it was a bit like, okay, how long is this going to last? Reaction. But I think as I grew more serious about it, they started to see it. But they, you know, so your family, they support me as well. They definitely do support me and help me, like when I was younger, pay for equipment and stuff. Like most kids would want PlayStation things, but I wanted a piece of, you know, a digital turntable.
All right. Who are some of the artists that influence you?
It's a big question. I think a lot of them do. One of my main influences, I would say, is Daft Punk, like from Paris. Thomas and Emmanuel, like they were massively influential in what kind of music I make at the moment. But when I started to grow older, I started listening to more Chicago house on vinyls. I don't know many by name. I know them by the vinyl labels that I use when I DJ. And hearing that kind of original birth of house music in comparison to some of the more pop style EDM we have these days, that really opened my eyes and was like, wow, this is incredible. What can I do to make my stuff more like that?
All right. Now, describe your sound to the people, because a lot of them might be like, okay, what's he like? What's his sound like?
My sound, well, with quite a few of my songs, I've just got influences of house, influences of funk, definitely large influences of electronica. I find that's the main theme which kind of permeates through most of my music. But my song can, my songs can vary song to song. They can vary stylistically quite a lot. But I found those main things of house, techno, electronica, and funk, they have already been the driving force behind all my music. It's just a blend of them. I don't know if there's a genre which kind of encompasses all of them, but it's becoming more and more popular these days.
Okay. All right. Now, a lot of times when I listen to artists from the UK, their music is very political. When we listen to Mad Boy CJ's music, will we hear political content, or do you just keep it fun?
For me, I when I started making music, I got into the political, but I think it was so heavy, that whole area. And I have friends who are political hip-hop artists, and who are, for example, they're quite involved in the recent movements of BLM and all that kind of stuff. But with me, I'm mainly focusing on my music as a feel-good kind of happiness, a kind of innocence relationship with music of, you know, you're taking yourself out of the world and fully absorbing yourself in this sound, which makes you feel good. But just so I can get you, Mad Boy CJ is just my go-to name, but my artist name is CJ Rogan for anyone who wants to reach out to me.
All right. Tell me a little bit about the name Mad Boy CJ. Why did you choose that moniker?
Mad Boy CJ was originally, I used to be in a crew of my friends, and we were all called the Mad Boys, and we'd get up to no good, everything from crashing weddings to crazy nights to we were a group of skaters as well in London and the south of England, like near to where Brighton is. So we would get up to a lot of fun, and that was me when I was younger. So Mad Boy CJ comes from there, and CJ Brogan's just is my artist name though, but I would that's the one more prevalent online, and that's a blend of my name and the nickname I picked up as a skater.
All right. What would you like, because you just, again, congratulations on hitting that 100,000 mark. And I know you are a producer and you are a DJ. Like, what aspect of the music do you enjoy the most?
That's a tough question. There is definitely a very nice thing about listening and a very nice thing about creating. I think maybe a bit of both when I create something and listen to it back. I think that's quite a hard one. With my relationship with sound, it's constantly evolving. I've just bought myself a cassette boombox from the 1980s, and I'm starting this whole venture. I think the thing which I enjoy with music most, and what matters the most to me, is just that kind of bond of being able to play with it. I think that's maybe what got me into producing and into DJing and all these other things. I used to sit and listen to music a lot, but now whenever I hear something, it makes me want to do something.
All right. What's in the future for you and your music?
In the future for me and my music, I'm hoping once COVID lockdowns are over that I can take advantage of all the creative people I spent the last 3 years with and start putting together music videos. I'm currently working on a small album, a small EP, which I'm doing a lot of experimenting, taking some of my work from the last 2 years, doing new fresh mixes with them, and also writing new stuff alongside. That's quite an exciting one to be working on at that moment.
All right. Now, you hit the 100K mark with your streams and plays. Like, what is that feeling like? Because there are artists who go years and years and years and never hit that mark. Let the people know how hard and how much work you put in and the feeling that happened, the feeling you felt when you hit 100K.
When I hit 100K, I was just smiling. And it's quite hard to visualize that many people in your head. I think the numbers just kept rising. I could see it rising, and it was almost kind of strange because you're very happy about it. At the same time, you're a bit detached because you can't imagine that many people sitting and listening. But the thought that other people were sitting and listening to my music was really great. It kind of gave something back, and I was just, you know, it was crazy. I really didn't expect it, to be honest, and it made me quite happy thinking that even just like one or two people, these other people were listening to my music and enjoying it.
All right. Now, you mentioned once COVID is over, and hopefully, you know, you'll get a chance to hit some stages and get out and meet some people. At this point, how have you occupied your time during COVID, and, you know, how have you handled quarantine?
With quarantine, lockdown, it has been more difficult. The studios in London were closed during a time where I really needed them. They opened back up for a while and closed again. I think it's made me, it was very difficult at the first kind of instance, but it's definitely, if I keep my time busy doing other things as well, like I work as well as doing music, and I can definitely jump a bit deeper into it. It's made me look at online, the online presence a lot more, and I think that's what kind of drove me towards looking more about trying to get more views and working what I put on out and getting that result. Instead of, I would be more focusing on live performance, I think, if this didn't happen.
All right, now, you mentioned online. And being an artist in the UK, being in London, how has social media and the internet affected how you market your music, especially when it comes to the States?
It's very, you know, it's very high. I rely on promotion through other people who do organic promotion, who share it through their social medias. Where it's all kind of people driven. And you know, there's something pretty cool about that, which shows the connectedness about this. And I've also typically thought maybe by focusing more globally, advertising my music and getting it into the hands of people around the world, I allow, you know, maybe my audience to actually come to me a bit more, because I don't know if everyone in London likes this particular music, or if there are, then it won't be all of them. It will be, you know, at best some of them or most of them. And so I think it kind of outweighs it, it makes it easier to reach the people who may enjoy my music more, people from different backgrounds.
All right. No doubt. When people finally get a chance to hear your EP or your short version album, what will they be able to take from that? Like, what will your new fans gain from listening to the music of CJ?
Hopefully there's going to be a few dance kind of things on there. I really want to make people move. I remember when I first put on my music that I was working on, something which is actually on the EP now, when I made an early version, and I played it in the studio with other people. I was actually doing a lesson in the studio at that time, and I had a couple people from the lesson, you know, kind of dance, and that made me quite happy. You know, I didn't think like my music had the power to do that. I'd done live performance in different genre, but otherwise, I think everyone has their personal relationship with music, and we can get so much out of it individually. And I think that ability to connect with yourself is also what music gives you. So I want people to be able to feel that through mine.
Okay. All right, so look, we're going to close this interview out with two of your records. But before we play those records, I want you to tell me a little bit about the records, the production, the thought process, the concept. All right, let's talk a little bit about your joint, Groove Island. Tell me a little bit about Groove Island.
Well, Groove Island is actually the most recent release. That was the one which hit 100K. It's one of the favorite songs I've written. I was actually on a. It's going to sound fake or like a story. I was on a tropical island, which is very small, about 100 meters wide. We were stuck on that island and couldn't visit anywhere else because of COVID. So I was about a week on this desert island in the Indian Ocean in the Maldives, and I think that's where the whole tropical vibe kind of came from with the song. The song's very house tropical, and during that time I would be jumping in the ocean and coming face to face with sharks and fish and looking up into the hot sun with palm trees and the very kind of organic connection with nature, which was very fun. I mean, I wasn't there with friends or anyone. I was just there with my family, and it was a kind of personal, like, tropical adventure. And being on that time, it's funny, I barely spent any time in the sun because I was mostly working on that song.
All right. And I'm also going to play a joint by you called Beyond Tomorrow. Tell me a little bit about that.
Beyond Tomorrow, this one was actually, it's actually very heavily sampled, this one. This one is I sampled from these guys called the Tobo Sound Experiment, I think their name is. And how I came across their music, my roommate for my birthday once gave me a vinyl, which he'd gotten from the charity shop across the road. I know because I saw it in the window, and I thought, is it worth getting? Maybe I'll wait. And have a look at the next vinyl shop. He brought it back. I absolutely loved it. It had that whole funk element to it, and I really saw potential in these samples, and I added things with, I played a lot with phases, filters, added a whole big bass kick and intensity behind it with the drum programming and everything. That one's and one of the other few that I'm quite happy with, and that along with Groove Island, I mean. But Beyond Tomorrow, it has a video. I always think of like the song as a bit of like a spaceship or something kind of intergalactic, because it has this very chic electronic kind of hit to it, and maybe that's my fascination with things like Daft Punk coming back again.
All right. Now, before I get you to introduce the two records, because I'm going to play both records and I'm going to play them in the order that you introduce them, let the world know how to keep up with you when it comes to the World Wide Web, especially the people in the States, because there are going to be people over here in the U.S. who want to get at you. Let them know how to get at you and how to keep up with you when it comes to the World Wide Web.
In terms of hitting me up, my name is CJ Brogan. That's C&J, Brogan. My music is out on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud is a big one if you want to follow on that. I have music out on over 26 platforms. So if you just search my name, I'm sure to come up. We're setting up Instagram pages recently, but my mains, of course, will be Spotify, SoundCloud, and iTunes, Apple Music. You'll be able to find me on all of them. It's CJ, Brogan.
All right. No Facebook, no Twitter?
No Facebook, no Twitter. We're in the process of setting up the Instagram, Facebook, Twitter more heavily on that side. We're just waiting on probably the next release.
All right. CJ, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Now I want to introduce your music to the world. Introduce your two songs, and we're going to give it to the people in the order you announce them.
Thank you very much, Greg. Thank you for having me on the show. It's been great. That's really awesome stuff. This is Groove Island by CJ Brogan, and I hope you enjoy it.
All right. Appreciate it, my G.
Thank you. Thank you, Vic.
Tomorrow by my man CJ. CJ Brogdon, and name of those joints were Groove Island and Beyond Tomorrow. All right, y'all, make sure y'all check them out on all I repeat, all streaming sites everywhere worldwide. All right? It's your boy, Vic XL, man. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 5 p.m. with another exciting episode of Riding Dirty Radio. All right? Y'all stay black. Keep it gangster. Peace.